给呀，歪歪打开呀。
My friends, is the haka music to start off our New Zealand episode.
Very good. Episode number 8.
Yeah, so that was for you, Carl, our guest.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful. Nick's dancing was incredible.
I know.
He had his shirt off. It's a bit weird.
Little do you know, that's not my first time doing a haka.
It really isn't. This is episode 8 of What The Faux podcast. Thank you for downloading and listening. Hello.
We're joined by a very special guest today, Mr. Carl Watson, I suppose famous from YouTube and his travel documentaries that he makes. Hello, Carl.
Morning, guys.
Morning. So I'm kind of like fangirling here. I feel like we've got someone like a celebrity
you really
in
haven't.
The studio.
It's okay.
Well, we said, which is the truth, you know, we've met you today and you're on our TV more than most famous people are.
So true.
We spend a lot of evenings just binge watching all of your, I really enjoy the ones where, it's like a proper series. Like, well, Hong Kong to New York obviously is the big one, but each is like a 45 minute to an hour episode, and there's what, like 9, 10 episodes?
11.
As we are talking about, we should probably explain to the people that are listening what we're actually talking about. So you make travel documentaries and films of the places you go to.
Yeah, so I mean, I work in video, and making videos of trips I go on is something I've always done, but in 2013, me and my mate James quit our jobs, go backpacking world for 9 months, and I wanted to film the whole thing as if it was like a TV series, as if we'd been commissioned, like the long way round, long way down kind of stuff. But we weren't commissioned, we didn't have any budget for it, I just had a home video camera because that's all I could afford, and I didn't even know if anyone was going to watch it when we cut it, but I was like, I'm just going to make it as if we are going to be on TV, put it on YouTube, and then hopefully my mum will watch it and we'll go from there.
At least you got one view.
And then my mum watched it lots of times, so we've now got lots of views. So
it's going right.
And what you're doing, I think the reason why you have so far been successful is because that style of travel film, it's not currently on TV. Like you said, long way around, long way down, but the demographic is really, you can apply to a lot of people, but the demographic's a bit older people maybe, but yours is like young backpacking people.
Most of the stuff on TV with like travel documentaries, you've either got one end of the spectrum, which is like Michael Palin, very factual, getting to know the culture and the people, which is great, that's brilliant, and then you've got the other end of the spectrum, like your Bear Grylls,
adventure junkies.
Crazy, but what's it like when I go there? What's it like when you book a ticket and go there? And there's, you know, you got so many, backpacking such a huge industry now, but no one's really filming it, there's lots of stuff on YouTube with just montages of GoPro stuff, but that doesn't tell me what it's like when
Absolutely.
I go there. And
you get,
Because the way we watch videos now is changing. You can watch YouTube on your TV, so people can watch longer videos. But because there's that one a few years ago, I don't know what it's called, that guy's doing that dance move in all the different countries.
I think I know what you mean.
You know the one I mean? I don't know what it's called. And there's another one with a guy walking towards the screen.
That one's amazing.
They're fucking brilliant, but it doesn't tell me what it's like when I go there.
Exactly.
And so the idea I want when people watch this film, these videos, like, because they might go, 45 minutes, fuck off, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah.
But the idea is you hit play and then you forget you're sitting there with your iPad or your TV and you feel like you're on the trip with us. That's kind of what we're going for.
I was just
going
to say the same thing. You do feel like you're on the trip with them, don't you, when you're watching?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, like, so me, Amy, you and James, we went from Hong Kong to New York and we had a great time.
it was brilliant. We had so many personal jokes. Fucking loved it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And you're just, same as us, just addicted to travelling, if not more than us.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's too much fun.
It is. And yeah, so you're kind of making your videos the same reason why we're making this podcast. Yeah. Just want to experience it with other people and get to know like-minded people and stuff like that.
Spread the word, yeah.
Spread the love, guys.
Because you can easily think of reasons why not to do it. Yeah, you know, work, money, whatever. But actually, it's really easy to do, and people need to stop with the excuses, really.
Well, exactly. I mean, the only thing that's stopping you from doing it really is yourself. Like, even if you've got no money, there's ways you can travel to cheap, and you can work abroad. There's so many different ways to do it. But, like, going back to the video, the main reason I do it is, for me, it's the ultimate souvenir, because you get to relive the trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can get a t-shirt or something like that, but, like, great, but that's not reliving the trip. I can.
Or do you think, when you come back from a trip and your friends, they're just being polite and they say, oh, how was the trip? Yeah. You're like, you don't really care, and I don't want to explain it because you're not going to understand because you weren't there.
Yeah.
You can just say, just watch a video.
Just wait a few weeks and then hit play if you want, and then if you don't want to, fine, you know. Mm.
And we were talking about this earlier, like with friends and stuff, getting involved and listening to your podcast or watching your videos. And you said that your friends don't always watch them, do they?
Some do.
Same with our friends on this show.
Well, one of my mates, gets a bit jaded about me going away, because I think he's one of those guys, he's a talker, not a doer. Yeah. And so he's always like, oh, I'm going to do it. And he never does.
Yeah.
And so he now gets really kind of like meh about it. And he's like, he goes, what, you're going off traveling, you're still trying to find yourself, Carl? And I go, look, I don't go traveling to find myself. I go to lose boring like you.
Oh, nice.
That's my travel. That's my inspirational travel quote. You should put that on a postcard. Whether the C-bomb will make your edit or not, I don't know, but I might have to bleep it. But
no, it's cool. You can do whatever you want. It's fine. So, Nick, I don't know, we should have discussed this. This was some unprofessional. We should have discussed this, but are we doing shout-outs this week? Has anyone said anything good enough for us to mention them?
All rubbish. No.
Well, if you don't fucking tweet us, we're not going to talk about you.
We spoke about this a little while ago where, we've had a few people get in touch and stuff to say, oh, enjoying the show, which is really nice. But I think now, if I've got something really to shout about, then I will, but I haven't got anything.
Okay.
You've got to earn it.
Yeah,
exactly. So if you don't tweet us at Faux Podcast, we're not going to talk about you.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
I'd say, thanks to all the listeners, but for the last show we did, including Carl, for all the comments that people gave us, like all those tips and stories about travelling with a partner.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, travelling, all this sort of romantic stuff, and then it's about me and James and our tips. Wasn't that kind of trip?
Right, so in today's show, we're talking about New Zealand. We're going to start with the Capitals game, so we're going to really test your knowledge, Carl, on how well you know the world. And you seem to have been to most places, so I'd be shocked if you don't do well in this game.
But we know you've listened to previous episodes, and the list roughly always stays the same for the countries and the capitals. We've got a new list now.
Okay.
You've got a brand new list.
I remember this. I'm dreading this. I think I'm going to fail miserably. But
it's
hey,
cool.
let's go for it.
Okay, so for people that haven't heard the show before, on the Capitals game, it's really simple. You've got 30 seconds. I'm going to read you the countries. You have to give me the capital cities of those countries. Okay, so let's go.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought you read out the city and I gave you the country.
That's when she fucked it up.
That's okay. What I did last time as a...
Okay.
Was that a dig or are you being serious?
No, I was being serious actually. I think that'd be easy. All right, let's just go for it.
So, I'm not going to give it easy to you, Carl.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, it's early. We've been out drinking last night.
That's true. We're always doing this podcast on a hangover. It's not good.
Not fair to the listeners.
No. Right, okay, so this is your Capitals game, Carl. You've got James Beattie, who was on our second episode, got four out of... however many you did.
You got four.
Becky got one, so Nick's sister. Phil, who was on our China episode, got 10.
That's right? same as what
and
I got.
And that's the same as Nick, so you've got that to be. Okay, no pressure. Here we go. Right, so Peru.
Lima.
Colombia.
Bogota.
Bangladesh.
No idea.
Russia.
Moscow.
Nicaragua.
Shit, don't know.
Greenland.
Don't know.
Slovakia. Oh, I can't talk Slovakia.
Don't know.
Czech Republic.
Prague.
Croatia.
Don't know.
Saudi Arabia.
Don't know.
Jordan.
Don't know.
Japan.
That's Tokyo. There we go.
have Tokyo. That's five.
Okay,
that was
so
pretty awful.
Yeah. No, that's all right.
It wasn't the worst.
There were actually some really hard ones. Greenland?
Come on. Can you do like France and Germany?
That's
and,
just what my sister you know. Said.
Okay, so you got five, which means you're actually second place.
What, from the worst? Yeah.
Well, that's me and Phil, a joint.
Joint first. And
I see.
Second.
Yeah. Well, once you've had more guests on, then I'll be right at the bottom.
I was surprised actually that you didn't get Slovakia.
Yeah, I haven't been. What is Slovakia?
Bratislava.
Oh yeah.
I think that's quite a hard one to remember.
Yeah, I guess.
Have you been to Slovakia?
No.
No.
So, do you want to go through some of them that you got wrong?
Okay.
This
yeah.
Will take
so
a while.
I can't talk and listen at the same time, so I don't know what you said. But Peru was Lima. I think you got that. Yeah. Colombia was Bogota.
You got that.
Bangladesh was Dhaka.
Of course.
Dhaka. Russia, Moscow, Nicaragua, which is really hard to say. Managua. Managua.
I only went to San Miguel del Sur.
That was that party, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just to get fucked
too
up.
Too drunk to know what the capital city was.
Greenland is Nuuk, spelled N-U-U-K.
Who knew?
Every day's a school day.
Slovakia, Bratislava. Czech Republic is Prague. Yeah. Croatia is Zagreb.
Zagreb. I knew that only because of football. Football's actually really good for geography.
Yeah.
If you watch Champions League. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why you got the score you get it. Yeah. I can't talk today. I'm so hungover. Saudi Arabia is Riyadh.
R-I-Y-A-D-H.
I don't even know how to spell.
To say it.
Talk.
Amy, come on.
Jordan is Amman. Did we get this far? Yeah. Japan, Tokyo.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh, Amman.
Well done.
I could have got Amman.
Yeah, I thought you would have got Jordan.
I just thought, when I think Jordan, I think Petra. I was like, yeah, that's obviously not the capital city at all. It's just a place to even visit.
Yeah, but good effort, I think. But that was actually quite tough.
That was
a tough one.
Yeah. We gave you a tough list because we thought you're like a pro at this. So
yeah, you
need
thought
a
wrong.
List. Right, Nick, as this episode is about New Zealand, we need your game show facts.
Let's do it. Let's get to know New Zealand. So,
I love this bit. I love it, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah, it's
okay,
great.
It's good. I'm glad someone's sticking up for me.
Yeah, because we did talk about it on another episode where I wasn't too sure how this feature was going down with the listeners. But
You just thought it was a bit... like gay, a bit Michael Palin.
Like, yeah, it's a bit too Michael Palin. But if
it's short but sweet, that's the thing. If you did a 20-minute segment, it might be a bit much. Yeah. But, you know.
So, Amy, give me the music. So, New Zealand is an island country in the southwestern Pacific Ocean. The country geographically comprises of two main land masses, the North Island and the South Island. The population is 4.5 million. 15% of these people are the indigenous Maori. Kiwi is the nickname used internationally for people from New Zealand. The name derives from a kiwi, a flightless bird, which is native to and the national symbol of New Zealand. New Zealand's capital city is Wellington, the most southern capital city in the world. Its most populous city is Auckland. More people live here than the whole South Island. Somewhere between 1250 and 1300, Polynesians settled in the islands that were to become New Zealand and developed a distinctive Maori culture. Eotora, meaning land of long white cloud, is the Maori name for New Zealand. The traditional Maori war dance, known as the haka, incorporates singing, dancing, and facial expressions to intimidate the enemy. The national rugby team, the All Blacks, still perform this before matches. In 1642, Abel Tasman, a Dutch explorer, became the first European to discover New Zealand. In 1840, the British and Maori chiefs signed the Treaty of Waitangi, making New Zealand a British colony. Only 5% of New Zealand's population is human, the rest are animals. Organised commercial bungee jumping first began in New Zealand. The first man to climb Mount Everest, Sir Edmund Hillary, was a Kiwi. Lord of the Rings was filmed here. These movies pumped around $200 million into the economy. The Kiwi badminton team was named the Black Cocks, but after a year had to change it due to complaints.
Very nice. Liking the facts there.
There we go.
I learned a few things there. I mean, I've lived in Wellington, but I didn't know it was the southernmost capital city, so... I'm doing well with capitals today, basically.
Yeah. So I hope you feel like you've got to know New Zealand a bit better now.
Definitely. I like the Black Cocks bit.
The Black Cocks.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Do you reckon
great.
They actually kind of named themselves that seriously and thought that'd be a good nickname, but they never actually thought, or they done it as a joke?
I think it's a joke.
It's
like a Kiwi sense of humour.
Yeah.
The Black Cocks. How would you say that in a Kiwi accent? The Black Cocks? That sounds South African, doesn't it?
It did, actually.
The Blick Cocks. That's South African. Yeah. Blick Cocks.
The Blick Cocks.
Funny. Nick, when are we going to tell Carl about the little hacker thing?
So,
what?
Just we're not going to do it.
Yeah. Backup.
Just it was a Thursday night, a typical night in our house.
I'm putting makeup on Nick's face.
And we thought, because we're excited about doing an episode about New Zealand, I did a haka.
Wow.
I definitely did put makeup on his face to make it look like he had tattoos on his face.
Just an ordinary Thursday night then. Okay.
It really was, are we doing this now? Like are we
I don't know, I'm asking you. Are we going to show him?
Just to show him.
Yeah. I think you should show him.
All right. Well, let's record. I'll hold it up to the mic and I'll show you the video and see what you think.
So while Nick finds the video, we will be posting this on our Instagram page. So you can find that at What The Faux Podcast on Instagram. It'll also be on our Twitter at Faux Podcast. And don't forget, Faux is P-H-O.
All right. Do you want to come in and check it out? I'll hold it close to the mic so the listeners can hear as well. Just looking at that picture straight away.
It's a good F, actually.
So what do you think of that?
That was a really good effort. Like when we were on the Kiwi bus, we had this night at the Maori village, and they taught like from each part of the group, we had a chief, and this guy Ben had to do the haka, and he's a big rugby guy, but his haka was it was pretty shit. You can see it in the video actually, but but yeah, that was a really good effort. I was actually really good. I was impressed. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you
yeah.
very much.
Well, a bit you
did, of rehearsal
kind of studied
there.
Another video, didn't you? You
yeah,
learned
how many
the
takes
language.
Was that?
Like,
yeah,
that was actually take number one.
Wow,
he is a pro.
Oh no, I practiced a lot, but yeah, once you filmed it, I just banged it out.
I don't know whether you could see in the video as well, but obviously you didn't have a top on, and I've got this kind of like fur jacket which we wrapped around him as a skirt to make him look very tribal.
I think you
check
got,
it out on Instagram,
got,
ladies.
Yeah. Amy got turned on by it.
I did.
We had sex afterwards.
No, hi, Nick's mum. Thanks for listening, Nick's mum.
I do this every episode.
So. Sorry, Jill.
Right, should we crack on with some good New Zealand chat?
Yeah, definitely. So when preparing for this episode, we said to you, like, where would you want to talk about? And you chose New Zealand.
Yep.
So why?
Well, I've been there a couple of times. I'd say it's my favourite country in the world to visit. You enjoy different countries for different reasons, but New Zealand, it's like, it's so ridiculously beautiful and it's unspoiled. There's no one there really. Like the South Island, I think the population of South Island's 1.5 million.
Right.
Check
okay.
that, but it's something like
yeah,
that.
Well, it's, yeah, like I said, more people live in Auckland than the whole South Island.
Which is a waste because Auckland's lovely, but you know.
It's a city, isn't it?
Just yeah. But like the South Island in particular, the mountains are beautiful, but you've got mountains, you've got volcanoes, you've got beaches, you've got glaciers, you've got rainforests, it's got everything. And the people are super friendly. And basically every place you go to, it could be the smallest village, they'd be like, right, do you want to do a bungee jump? Do you want to go whitewater rafting? Do you want to do jet boating? Do you want to this, that? And so there's just so much to do. Or you can just go for a walk in the mountains for free.
Yeah.
You know, and have it all to yourself. Like
yeah.
you could be in Queenstown and go up for a walk to like to Ben Lomond's Peak and you won't see anyone else. And it just has everything that I enjoy. I enjoy places that have loads to do during the day and then have like a good night as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's tons of backpackers there all getting drunk together having a good time.
Yeah,
so.
Especially Queenstown because it's kind of like a skier, snowboarder type place.
And that was really cool because we went to Queenstown right in the winter, well, their winter, so our summer. And yeah, it was such a cool place. But you can tell, all year round. What I found with New Zealand was I knew if we were there in the summer, winter or whatever, you're never far from a beach, you're never far from the mountains or a lake or whatever, and there's something to do for all seasons. So that's why, Australia, people are naturally going to compare the two, but they're such different places. Because Australia is massive, ridiculously huge. I want to do this today, but then it's like a day or two journey to get there. But New Zealand, everything's on your doorstep.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Plus, Australia's mostly desert. So, you know, there's some really cool stuff. I mean, I love Australia, but for me, New Zealand kicks its ass.
Oh,
sorry,
100%.
Aussies. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very sorry, Aussies, but I found, like, what I tell people with Australia, because I'm not good in the heat anyway, so if you don't like heat, then don't go. Yeah. I found Australia to be a more boring version of England with uncomfortable weather, and 99% of it is just a dust bowl.
Yeah,
it's better than that.
I think
he's really selling it there.
I am doing it down a lot. Yeah, and I appreciate. I know a lot of people have really good experiences in Australia, but I just wasn't really that impressed.
We weren't fast,
impressed
were we?
By it.
But then after we went to New Zealand, and it was banging.
But if you're thinking of going traveling for the first time, Australia and New Zealand are a good place to start because they're so easy. Like,
yeah.
People are like, oh, would you just go? It's fine. It's easy. If you're doing the outback Australia, you want a guide who can find, because you'll be driving through the desert, then he'll know to find a good oasis or whatever. But and then the east coast of Australia is just one big backpacking party, just drinking goon every night and doing lots of fun stuff during the day. But then New Zealand's just something else, and it's just ridiculous how beautiful it is. Every place you go to, it's just insane.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the overview of your trip? So if you just run through, like, basically the route you took, and then we'll tell you our route as well.
Well, the first time I was there, because I had, like, a working holiday visa there, so I was in New Zealand for a few months, and I sort of did a loop of the South Island, and then I was going to get a job in Queenstown, but I was there in between seasons, so I ended up working in Wellington for a few months and then did the North. But the second time I was there, and the one that's on YouTube, so it's kind of relevant to the conversation, we were on the Kiwi bus again, and we started in Auckland and basically did like a figure of eight around the two islands.
Oh, nice.
It's Auckland, Taupo, Rotorua, maybe not in that order, and then went to River Valley for some amazing whitewater rafting, and then down to Wellington, and then down to South Island, did a loop all the way around. I mean, if you're planning a trip to New Zealand, just... even if you don't want to do the Kiwi experience, just go on their website and steal their itinerary, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I always do. Anywhere you want to go in the world, people go, oh, how do you plan a trip? See what the tour companies are doing, steal their ideas, you know?
Definitely, yeah, because they're taking you to the best places. So, yeah. What route did we take?
So
my memory is not that great.
We were supposed to fly to Christchurch, but that was only because it was cheap to fly there, because we didn't plan to stay in Christchurch for a while, because from what we heard, there wasn't much to do. Plus, like, it's bad, but you know, half the city was still on its knees from... when was the earthquake?
It was
2011. I had a couple of weeks there in 2006, because there was a mess up with my work visa, so I had 2 weeks hanging around in Christchurch. So I got to know the city well, and so when it was just flattened, it was weird. And when I went back there just for one night in 2013, I couldn't recognize it. Like, you walk through the main square where the cathedral was, and there's the ruins of the cathedral, and my hostel should be there, but it was, like, you know, rubble and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really, really sad, like a lingering sadness around the place.
Really sad. Well, we never saw what it looked like before, but I think we were there in 2013.
Yeah. It was 2013.
Same year as you.
Oh, might have seen you guys.
Might have. But yeah, you're right. Half the city was just, still demolished. It was really sad.
But there were some, like, kooky ways of kind of gone around it, though. So they had them containers.
Storage containers.
And then there was, like, cafes inside them, and fashion labels have set up their shops in them, and because obviously they're way more sturdy if anything ever happened again.
Mm. The city's doing good. Like I've got a friend... but a friend of James's has moved out there, so we met him when we were there, and, like, you know, just no one lives in it. There's no city centre now. Everyone lives in the outskirts and does their thing. But they're doing... I don't want to put the place down too much. They're doing good.
What I was going to say, we ended up really enjoying it. We just flew in and we thought, right, we'll go straight to Queenstown from there. But we landed and our... no, that's it. We landed and then we had to wait for the next morning to then get a bus to Queenstown. But that night, when we were in New Zealand, there was a really bad storm. And the next morning, our bus was cancelled because, like, the one road or the two roads to Queenstown,
flooded, weren't they?
That's what we found. The main difference between New Zealand and England or the UK, they're both similar size. But the UK, of course, the infrastructure, we have so many roads. But if one or two roads are closed in New Zealand, you can't get there. So the bus was cancelled. We're stuck in Christchurch for a bit. Tried to get a flight out. We ended up being in Christchurch for three or four days, I think.
Because it was so cold and icy, we tried to get a flight out, but where we wanted to land, the runway was absolutely ruined, so we were just stuck in Christchurch.
So we're staying at this hostel. I'll give them a shout if I remember the name. I think Round the World Hostels
in
Christchurch.
Yeah, brilliant. One of the best hostels we've ever stayed in.
They made us feel really welcome, and there was such... you know when you get really lucky with a hostel, there's such a good group of people there. We spent most nights in the kitchen, like, playing cards, chatting, and playing games. And we had one big night out with them all. But I think there was about 15, 16, 17 of us, people from all over the world. And we were like just a group of, like, best friends for three days. There was such a good group. So we had a great time in Christchurch.
Well, it's always the people make the place. You can go to an amazing place, but if you got a boring crowd, it's like, oh, it was great, but I wish we had a good laugh. But sometimes you go somewhere that's quite dull, but you have such a good group, and so you'll love the time there.
Yeah, and we were all in the same boat, really, because we were all stranded in Christchurch. So we made the best of it.
Yeah.
But then, because our trip was then delayed by 4 days or something, we then went to Queenstown to do a bit of skiing, and we loved Queenstown. It was so much fun. Then, basically, when we was in New Zealand, we knew this date we had a flight leaving Auckland to go home, because we'd done a few weeks in Australia, then we finished off like 10 days in New Zealand, I think.
Yeah.
So, but because we're then behind, we had all these plans for the North Island, we just couldn't do them. So then we changed our plans. We spent a good time in Queenstown. We flew to Auckland, spent a day in Auckland, and then flew home. So we pretty much missed all of the North Island, which is a real shame.
Yeah, but we will be going back because it's such an amazing country. The bits that we did see, we loved.
I would say the South Island's slightly better than the North, but that's just because it's so good. Like, again, it's like saying New Zealand's better than Australia. It's not that Australia's bad. It's just it's that good.
Unless you talk to me. I was really harsh on Australia then. But I'm just going to... I know we're not talking about Australia, but like, places like the Whitsunday is amazing. Like, it's
Fraser Island and all that. You know.
Yeah. But yeah, with New Zealand... So the North Island, is that where you can do the thermal waters and stuff like that?
Yeah, so there's a thermal beach... where I can't remember the name of it, which is very useful, but just Google it, you'll find it. Yeah. There's a thermal beach on the north coast where on the beach you just dig a hole in the sand and then the thermal stuff starts coming through and you basically make a natural spa.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Was that on your video? Because
there's
seen
a couple of photos of it, yeah. Because it was pitch black, so I couldn't film anything. So just a couple of photos of us, all of us just chilling on the beach at night having a beer, which was, that was so much fun. That was a really cool experience. Then you got like Rotorua, which is like all the volcanic area, to all the geysers and stuff. Yep. So it's a bit, if you've ever been to Yellowstone in the States, it's a bit like that, except not on the same scale. But then you've got the Tongariro region, where it's basically what people now call Mount Doom from Lord of the Rings. Okay. But you can do a Tongariro crossing through this national park. It's supposed to be amazing. Both times I've been to New Zealand, the weather's stopped me from doing it. So hopefully third time lucky when I go back.
Have you actually got plans to go back?
Yeah, this time next year, basically. Like, yeah, I want to go for maybe up to 2 months, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I've got friends who live out there and stuff, and I've done the Kiwi bus twice. I want to mix it up and maybe get a camper van.
Very cool.
Yeah, a camper van around New Zealand would be amazing.
Plus, I'm going to buy a drone and just film the shit out of it.
Oh, wow. That'd be great.
So am I right in thinking, unless I made this up, when you were very young, did you go to live and work out in New Zealand?
When I was 2006. So yeah, I was.
How old were you then?
I would have been 22. So that was between my undergraduate and postgraduate.
You're so old.
32. Yeah, 32.
But, oh, you're actually 32? Oh,
yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, that's older than I thought.
You're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you reckon? I thought like 29.
Well, because you've been traveling for so long, I knew you were older than you looked.
Yeah. I love this bit. Just keep going.
But genuinely, if I met you out on the street, I hadn't like fangirled over your videos. That sounded really wrong.
That sounds great. Keep going.
I would genuinely think you're probably like 26, 27.
Well, the best thing is with James, when I travel with James, he's got even more of a baby face.
Yeah.
So he has actually.
They thought when we were traveling, we were both 29, and they thought, most people thought he was 20 and I was 24. And we just didn't correct them, so, you know. But, yeah, no, like people, we tell people that we were 29 and they're just like, wow, I can't believe it, you guys look so young. And we're like, stuff it, you know.
So I asked you earlier, when you first went to New Zealand. So, what was that? Were you working there?
Yeah, so it was a working holiday visa. So it was like, I had a six-month trip overall, did like a few weeks in Oz, then a few months in New Zealand. And then, you know, brief stop off in Fiji on the way back, as you do. That was my first proper backpacking trip. I'd done traveling growing up with my family and stuff like that, but that was the first proper time backpacking. And I remember the moment I actually got bitten by the travel bug, I reckon, because we were in Australia, Nick's favourite country. And
go Australia.
And we're on Fraser Island. You can go around Fraser Island on jeeps, but now you have to like do it in like a guided tour. Before, you could just go around anywhere you want, but too many people crashed the jeeps and died and stuff, so they put a stop to that.
Oh,
but,
shit.
But we had this group of 11 people, and there's some really popular lakes with these amazing beaches, but we went to one that no one else did, and it was like 10 in the morning, and we set up cool boxes for goalposts, played football on this beach whilst drinking, and it was like a Tuesday morning in March.
Oh,
and I remember just sort of thinking, what's everyone else doing right now in the world? They'll be at school or at work, and we're here doing this, and this is our life for the next few months. Like, our only responsibility is to have a good time, and that's it. And I was like, it felt like I figured out a trick to life. Oh shit, you can just do this. This is great. You know?
That's really good. And one of the main moments I remember in your video from Hong Kong to New York, were you in Cambodia at this point where you went onto that island and
Castaway Island.
Oh, Castaway Island, yeah.
Castaway, yeah. So you were doing lots of drinking and stuff. And the next morning, I think you woke up with a hangover and you were like, it's Monday morning, so our mates are probably at the train station right now, heading to work. We're in Vietnam, drinking.
It's a nice smug moment in the video. But the thing is, also, when you're traveling, you lose completely completely lose track of what day of the week it is because it doesn't matter.
Every day's a Saturday.
Really. Yeah, it doesn't matter at all. But it was the guide. He was sort of filming. He was like really up for the video, and so he was filming me doing this intro, and he went, "Do you realize it's Monday morning?" I was like, "Oh, I'm going to mention that."
Nice.
So before we started the podcast, you said to me, like, the hardest question is when someone says, "What was your best story from New Zealand and stuff?" Yeah. Just to piss you off, I'm going to ask you that question.
What's the best story? Well, I tell you one. The first time I was there, when I was doing the bungee jumps, there's three main bungee jumps in Queenstown, and you can actually pay for them all in one package. So I did all of them in one day.
Wow.
And never done them before. And the first one's off a bridge that's 45 meters head first, and that was okay. The second one's the Nevis one, which we do in the HK to NY video again. So if you've seen the video, you'll see that one. That's 134 meters out of a cable car in a canyon, and it's just the most terrifying thing I've ever done. But it was also one of the most fun things. But then I got to the last one, which is like a ledge just sticking out. You can get a cable car up from Queenstown, and there's a ledge sticking out, so you're like a few hundred meters above the town. But it's only like a 45-meter jump. And I was thinking, oh, I've done the other ones. This one's going to be easy now. And you don't have to tiptoe up because you're only tied by the waist. So I was thinking, so you can just do a run and jump. So there's no queue, because the worst bit's the build-up.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
Ranking up the tension. So I was like, right, this is going to be easy. So I was like, they're like, "You ready to go, Carl?" I'm like, "Yep." Ran, did like a big Mission Impossible style jump, and then immediately realized that when you're tied by the waist, you don't feel like you're tied to anything. When you're tied by your feet, like subconsciously, because you're all wrapped up, you know you're tied to a rope. But this, it just felt like I jumped off the mountain, and my stomach went out my mouth. Like, you know, like when you're on a roller coaster and your stomach goes, you don't get that going head first. But when this, so I just thought, here we go, jumped, and I was like, fuck! It was great fun, but I just thought this one's going to be easy because I've done the other two, and it suddenly caught me by surprise. Like, what? Like that split second of what the fuck have I just done? I've just jumped off a mountain.
Yeah, you've done something which is so unnatural, and the human brain is programmed to don't do those kind of things. And then you will die.
They send down like another rope that you just clip on, and they pull you back up with this one. And before you do the jump, they make sure you can clip it on fine, so you know what to do. And you're just there testing, you're like, fine, easy. But when you're dangling there, they pass it down, you're like, trying to put it on, you know.
It
was great fun, but it was just like a moment completely caught you by surprise.
Yeah. When Nick, you did your bungee in South Africa, you were with one of your best mates. Mm-hmm. And was it Joel when they were like tying up his shoes, and they were like about to count him down to jump, and he was like, "Whoa, wait, no, the rope doesn't feel right around my feet. It doesn't feel right." They were, "Oh no, it's fine." And like just pushed him off.
Yeah, bridge. They got him ready. Yeah, they're tying it around his legs, and when he's standing there, like you said, he was like, "This rope feels a little bit loose," and they just went, 1, 2, 3, bungee. But he's like, "Excuse me one second." But he was obviously fine. It was the biggest, if I get it right, biggest bridge bungee jump in the world. Yep. So I've no idea, actually. I can't think of how tall it was. I'm
220 metres or something like that. Something ridiculous like that.
It is massive. Even when you look at the bridge, you think, how do people build that? Like, it was an impressive bridge, but to jump off it, it was terrifying. Like, I'm glad I did it. And for a few hours afterwards, I was on a real high, a real buzz. But yeah, would I do it again? No, I fucking wouldn't. It was terrifying. It was really scary.
I'd definitely do it again. I mean, when I was doing the Nevis again on the round the world trip with James, the whole time I was going, why am I doing this again? I've literally got the t-shirt, you know, I've got the video, why am I? But then you do it and you're buzzing. It's like, it instantly changes from the most scared you've ever been in life to like just like euphoria. And it's such a weird, crazy feeling. So I will do it again. I'll be absolutely shitting it again. But if you have done it and you're being cocky, what they do, like, you could be like, "Are you nervous?" Like, "Nah, it's fine." So then they'll be like, "All right, 3, 2, 1, jump." As soon as you jump, they go, "No, wait!"
And
they throw down like a fake rope beside you and shit like that.
Bastards.
Yeah.
So don't be cocky when you're doing a bungee.
They will get you.
I'm really scared.
Can I ask you a quick question? With New Zealand, I found one of the many reasons why I like New Zealand so much is because I find they're very respectful to like the indigenous Maori people. It's a big part of their culture, even though it's essentially a Western kind of culture country.
Yeah.
They're very respectful, and they always kind of reference to their the indigenous people. Whereas in Australia, like I've spoken to Australians who've agreed with me, and they said, "No, to be fair, you're absolutely right."
He's going
to
put them down again.
You don't really get that in Australia, do you?
It's,
do you think, it seems to me like they are kind of the pushed to the side.
Well, the Aboriginals, they kind of look at them as if they're like homeless people, don't they? Like we was told, don't look at them in the eye, don't talk to them.
We were told that, which is it's a real shame, isn't
That's
it?
That's in Australia, but in New Zealand, like
New Zealand, they're all part of it, and it's really embraced. Whilst Australia, I mean, you don't want to generalise an entire nation, but
it is very different there.
Yeah, we'll just carry on.
So many Aussies listening are going to hate this. I'm sorry, like, there are so many good things about Australia.
Next episode is Nick just talking about Australia and how much he loves it.
I think in May, I think in May or June we are doing an Australia episode, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
but do you remember? Do you remember in New Zealand? I think I was talking to a guy who had tattoos on his face.
And
I asked. I've said this before on the podcast. I ask questions. I'm curious. I ask stupid questions sometimes. But I said to this guy, "Oh, like, do you not find it hard to get a job with tattoos all over your face?" He was like, "No, this is New Zealand. It's different. Yeah. It's part of our culture."
Mm. Yeah. It would be different if you were here and had a tattoo on your face.
Correct.
Plus, you probably wouldn't be married, so you just have some stupid tattoo on your face. Yeah. But with there, it's like it's all part of it. And it's,
But I like that. I really do. Yeah.
And as you could tell from the video that we made on Thursday night, his tattoos on his face were bang on, weren't they?
Just amazing makeup work. Amazing.
I did do that in about 3 minutes. So I was really proud of that. So we're going to move on and play a game now before talking, and then after we'll talk about New Zealand a bit more.
Cool.
Now, we were talking about this game in the car when we picked you up, and it's an accent game, and we're trying to think of a name to call it. So we kind of come up with one in the car, didn't we? So the game is, I'm going to play both of you Australian accents or New Zealand accents. You have to tell me which is which. So we're thinking like Kiwi accents and like trying to think of names. And what did we come up with in the end?
Well, you have to say it in a Scottish accent for it to make sense. We're thinking the game could be called Kiwi or Niwi.
This wasn't the one that we came up with.
Like Kiwi.
The one that Carl came up
with. I should say, like, this is, Australians going to hate us because I just thought, oh, Kiwi or but the reason I'm saying that is because Australians drop the C-bomb like all the time.
Yeah.
For them, it's just like a random word. So I don't mean it like Aussies are or I could say Aussies are this because that means they're really good.
Yeah.
I met this Aussie girl in India just a few weeks ago, and she explained to me all the different variations of the word and how they all mean different things.
And there are many, apparently.
Very, very, there's so many. So if you don't like that word, you're going to hate this episode.
So I think we're just going to go with that.
Do you, not like, do you not like Kiwi or Niwi?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, Nick. Well, my vote is for Kiwi or
Fine.
Cool, that's two votes.
Fine.
Sorry,
you're outnumbered there, Nick. Right, okay, so yeah, like I said, you've basically got to guess whether these are Australian or New Zealand accents. So this is the first clip.
Now, any social occasion was one men could feel comfortable in as they drank their LMP while their mullets sheltered their necks from the long summer sun that burned on and on.
That's so Kiwi.
Okay, so he's going with Kiwi. What about you, Nick?
I'll stick to, I was going to say Australian.
All right, okay. Yeah, you go for that answer. We competing against each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are head to head.
Yeah, you stick with that answer because I
think Carl knows he's right.
He's so confident. I thought I'd be good at this game. I think I can tell the difference, but obviously not.
So do you know the company or something? Is that how you know?
L&P, the drink.
Yeah. So there's going to be clues in this, isn't there? So
I was so confident I interrupted you when you're about to say that was clip number one.
Right, clip number two.
Oh, I've been internalising a really complicated situation in my head.
So that was clip number two.
You can
answer first.
Have you put other accents as well? Is it just Australian and Kiwi?
No, there's no trick ones there.
So I thought that was South African. I'm going to go for Kiwi for that one.
Okay, and you, Carl?
Kiwi.
And you're both correct. Nick, if you can keep score for me so that Carl's got
one.
Two. Yep, okay, cool. Clip number three.
All brand. It's delicious.
Malicious. Tall Jan is malicious.
What?
I heard what you said. Tall Jan is malicious.
No, I said all bran is delicious.
All bran is delicious. You expect me to believe that?
Yeah.
Pathetic.
So that was clip number three.
That's
That's what we're saying for Australian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, you say it so hesitantly. Is that because you're not sure, or is that because you don't want to say
It's because your mum's listening.
I always think of that, yeah. And I don't think she likes that word, but oh well. Yeah, I think that is
And you're both correct.
So it's 3-2 to Carl.
Okay, so we've got 8 clips in total, and this is clip number 4.
Oh, come on, mate, do it yourself.
Oh, that one's really cute.
What was that? Come on, mate, do it yourself.
I'm going to go with Aussie. Just to reduce the amount of C-bombs, I'm going to say Aussie.
Come on, mate.
That was good, Ozzy.
Do you want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, mate. Do it yourself.
Oh, he's so cute.
Kiwi.
Okay, so you're saying Kiwi and you're saying Ozzy,
yeah.
Carl. The answer is Kiwi.
Yes!
He's back in the game.
I'm back in the game. It's 3-3.
It is.
I didn't speak to many little children when I was there, so.
So that's
see,
the excuse.
I
there.
Did.
Yeah. Right, clip number 5.
The Milky Bars are on me.
I think that's Australian.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're both correct.
4-4.
It's getting tense.
Right, clip number 6 out of 8.
It's like cheese. How do you know which one tastes best? Well, luckily, there's Coon cheese.
Coon cheese.
Do you know about Coon cheese?
Get no. Your
Coon
cheese,
oh, you don't.
Get your Coon cheese.
Okay, so there's quite a famous comedian
I'm gonna let Carl answer
in
this
UK
one first.
That does a joke about it, but anyway.
I think it's Australian. I'm not confident on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Australian.
Australian, okay. And you're both correct again.
Yeah, that's that's a real thing in Australia, Coon cheese.
Yeah, that's an actual
beautiful
thing. Clip number 7, and I'm just going to prep you for clip number 8, is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. And it's a long clip, it's about a minute long. But this is clip number 7.
Mrs. McConnell's making a venison pie for the supper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a venison pie. I think that was Kiwi.
I'm going to go with Aussie.
Okay. The answer is Kiwi.
Oh,
shit. He's taking the lead.
6-5 to me.
Okay, this is the best clip so far. I left it till the last one. I love this. It's about a minute long, but I'll see you on the other side.
If you're like me, you find it very hard to keep your dick dry. I could barely recognise my own dick.
I knew you were going to go with this.
Imagine that. Then I discovered Shaved Isle Dick Sealant. The best way to take care of your dick in 3 easy steps. First, wash your dick with soap and water. Then wait amazing for your dick to dry. Once your dick is clean and dry, paint your dick with Schaefer's Dick Sealant. I used to be too embarrassed to invite people over to see my dick. But now, my dick's the talk of the town. I even have pictures of my dick. Check out that dick. I'm going to send this to my secretary. Barbara always loves to receive my dick pics. I often have 20 to 30 people on my dick at once. That can really wear your dick out, causing dick splinters and discoloration. But with Schaefer's Dick Sealant, my dick stays a nice golden brown colour. Who wouldn't want a golden dick?
My dick was too dangerous for cods to play on. Seems like every cod in the neighbourhood's been on my dick this summer. And they've all had a good time. Wasn't that right, Jim?
Yes, you've got a nice dick, okay?
His wife is always on my dick.
If you like Schaefer's Dick Sealant, check out Schaefer's Dial Cock. I had a huge hole in my dick, but I fixed it by jamming some cock in it. You'd be surprised how many things you can fix by jamming cock into them. Have an extra large hole in your dick? Try Schaefer's African Style Cock. Just go to your local home improvement store and ask for the big black cock.
So that was clip number 8.
So they were talking about a deck, weren't they? Like a wooden garden deck. Halfway through, I realised what they're actually talking about.
Have you not seen the clip?
It rings a bell, but yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
Just go on YouTube, search deck, as in DECK commercial, and it'll come up, and it's hilarious.
It is really good.
So they're vowels and... where do you think that is?
That is definitely Kiwi.
Yep.
Kiwi. Yeah, it's Kiwi.
Which means you won.
I can't believe I won. Especially the first one, but you were so confident because you knew what the thing was they were talking about. But I won.
So well, what
big
were you
hearty
say...
handshake.
Thank you. Gracious loser.
So what were you going to say about their vowels?
Oh, it's just like they're always weird pronunciations. Like we have this bit in the video actually. We're trying to get the girls to say six.
Yeah, I love
sex.
I love
sax.
Love the way they say
six. Going, six, six, six.
Six, yeah.
And our driver, like Andrew, she'd hand out like the clipboard with a pen. And you'd be signing up for activities on the Kiwi bus. And she'd be like, has anyone got me a pin? A pin? So I've got a pen, not a pin.
Yeah, it's so true. So that was the accent game.
That was really good fun, actually. That last clip was hilarious.
I'm glad
but
you liked it.
Quick thing on accents. I've got two things I want to bring up. We always say watching your videos. Can I ask, what the fuck's going on with your accent?
Oh, yeah. Where are you from?
I have a miscellaneous accent because I... born and raised in Durham, in the northeast of England.
Oh, wow.
But my parents were from down south. And so I only ever had like a hint of the Geordie accent sort of by the time I left school, like when I was 18. And then went to Liverpool Uni, but luckily didn't pick up any Scouse accent. And then because I live down south now, it's just sort of you get a mixture of the north and the south. Then people try and I get American. But
really?
But I get a Kiwi.
I think
Aussie,
you've got a lot of Kiwi in the way
you speak. I'm having people like go like, oh, are you from Ireland? It's like, well, you've never been to Ireland then.
Clearly.
You know, people just guess everything. It's when sometimes someone go, someone said to me, "Are you from up north?" I'm like, "Wow, they actually guessed it."
Wow, yeah, I never would have said that. Like, in your videos, yeah. It's the one word you say, which we always comment on, is city. Yeah, like, we talk about city.
Yeah,
city.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, that's more north. That's the, this that's city. The joy thing. City. Like, you're sort of dropping the T.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, city.
Yeah, but I've got another quick thing to add on to the accent game.
So like, you prepped for this earlier and I have no idea what he's going to do. He's getting something out of his pocket.
Not going to give you some money.
Oh, his wallet. Oh.
Have you heard, Carl, have you heard of the game called Accentuate?
No.
Oh, no. This is Amy's
favourite game.
Oh, shit.
So I prepared a little homemade version of the game because it cost about 20 quid on Amazon. I thought, I'm not paying 20 quid for this podcast. So I have some phrases here, and you're going to read them out in your normal accent.
Oh, shit. Right. This
then
is so hard.
I've got lots of different accents written on a bit of paper, and you're going to at random pick one, and then you've got to repeat that statement in whatever accent you've picked. So, if I go first, for an example.
I think you're good at accents. I've heard you on the show.
Thank you.
Well, we heard your accents in Game Show Facts, where you were going, Kia ora.
Oh, yeah, well, because Kia ora means hello, doesn't it, in Maori? But New Zealand is Aotora, I think, something like that. Anyway, so I'm going to read out a statement in my normal accent. Efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. Okay?
Right.
So now I have to, at random...
Yeah, make sure it's random. Don't cheat.
Okay. Oh, you guys got guess.
What accent he's doing.
Okay.
It's really
hard. That's the point of the game.
All right.
Efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction.
I'm going to go with that's the South African accent.
It started out Australian and it ended up Indian. So
so you're going to go for a hybrid.
Let's go with Indian. Why not?
And you say South African.
Yeah.
You've got it, Amy. Well done.
South African. Okay.
So... at random.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay.
I'm sorry he's making us do this.
I didn't sign up for this shit. Oh, I see. Right, you're doing these great phrases. Okay. So
mine was really inspiring, I thought.
Well done.
No splash, no gash. No Imani, no Punani. No Paka... What's that?
No Paka Raban.
Oh, okay. No Paka Raban, you'll be going home with a man.
Beautiful. So, at random, pick one of these accents.
Oh, this is so hard. I'm scared.
Okay. It's just going to get into bigotry, this, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be so bad. No splash, no gash. No Armani, no Punani. No Paco Rabin, you'll be home with a man.
That's Russian, wasn't it?
Boom! Yes!
I was going to say, yeah.
Excellent.
That's really good.
Good effort. Right, Amy, your turn.
Right, okay.
That was good, actually. Yeah, well done.
That was really good. Freedom is not warmth. Is that right? Is that what
my handwriting's shocking.
Freedom is not
worth
having if it does not include the freedom to make mistakes.
Lovely. Beautiful. And pick an accent.
I'm genuinely so scared because I'm so bad at accents. Oh, okay. Freedom is not worth having.
Nice.
If it does not include freedom to make mistakes.
Nice. Jamaican.
Yeah, it's got to be Jamaican.
Well done. I'm actually so proud of that.
That was good.
That's probably the best accent I've ever done.
Okay, moving on.
Well done, guys. So, actually, before we talk more about kind of you and your filmmaking and how that all began,
sure.
Let's just kind of finish off on New Zealand. If you can, why should people go? What are the main things to do? So, someone is visiting New Zealand, you know, don't leave without doing this. What do you think?
A tip for New Zealand is do some research beforehand about what there is to do in the places, because there's so many activities to do in every town. You don't want to get there and not be able to afford to do it. So, my first time there, I did miss out on some things because I couldn't afford it. Whilst the second time around there, that was a bit of the trip I budgeted to a T, because every town, like, you want to do your skydive in Taupo, you want to do your bungees, you want to do whitewater rafting, and all the places got all the different things to do. And if you do the Kiwi experience, they'll get you discount on it as well, because people keep asking me, oh, is it all included? It's like, no, but they'll get you discounts.
Okay.
But do you mean like on the adventure things?
Yeah. So even on accommodation, they'll be like, right, we're about to arrive in Taupo. Here's a list of the main activities. Here's a list of accommodation. Just tick where you want to stay and tick any activity, and they book it for you.
Okay.
But with a discount.
Nice.
I mean, Queenstown's my favourite place in New Zealand. So if you're going to New Zealand, don't miss out on Queenstown. Other bits, it depends on your personal taste. But
when would you say is the best time of year to go?
Well, I've been there in autumn and in winter. So I haven't done summer yet. So that's next time around. But even we were lucky in winter. It wasn't that cold. Like, you know, you're in jeans and hoodie and stuff, but you're not wrapped up in Arctic weather or anything like that. And yeah, you still get really clear skies and really beautiful days as well. And as well, tonight you'll be weathered out. But yeah, I mean, fantastic. The thing is, if you go in the summer, I mean, it'll be warm, but you get, I think there's loads of sand flies in the summer, which really annoying. And also, you know, the mountains, some of them aren't going to have snow on the peaks. They won't look as spectacular as they do in the winter. So.
Yeah, well, we were there in the winter. We love to ski, and we thought, we can't pass up the opportunity to do that. And it was great, wasn't it? I found New Zealand as a whole, it is cheaper, quite a bit cheaper than Australia. Cheaper than here in the UK, would you say?
Yeah, it's cheaper than UK and Australia. It's not dirt cheap.
No.
But like all the hostels in Australia and New Zealand, they have massive kitchens, so you can keep your budget down by cooking your own food.
Yeah.
And especially on the Kiwi bus, you can get like a group of 10 of you together and go, right, tonight we're making spag bol or a curry, yeah, and you all cook it together, and it makes it so cheap.
Yeah.
Lots more money for activities and, of course, alcohol. So.
Of course, yeah.
Lovely.
And I really would recommend, when people do visit New Zealand, learn about the Maori culture. I find it quite fascinating. Like, those people rowed, on a rowing boat, thousands of miles to get there. I said, was it like a few thousand years ago? But I found the culture quite amazing. I thought really interesting. So it's good when you're in a place, it's good to really learn about the history, I think, anyway, if you're into that stuff.
Another thing I'd recommend, because one of the things that originally drew me there is just because I'm a big Lord of the Rings nerd. And so I was like,
yeah, it's massive over there.
And not just the films, but watching like the making of stuff. I sort of wanted to go and experience this country. But New Zealand's that good. You get there and all that nerdy stuff's just the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But what you can do, I mean, everyone does the Hobbiton tour now, but there's other tours you can do to locations. Like, there's one from Christchurch. You can go to a place that they use for Edoras. If you know what I'm talking about, great. If not, don't worry. Just do the tour. And it takes you, the name of the area it's in is called Erewhon, which is nowhere spelt backwards.
Okay.
And it's like this valley just surrounded by mountains, like, and there's no one there. It's absolutely beautiful. And
wow.
Even if you've never seen the films or can't stand the films and don't want to go on principle, just go to these places, check them out. And like in Queenstown, instead of paying for all these different tours, I hired out a car for the weekend. There's like a Lord of the Rings guidebook, location guidebook, and I went to all these different spots. It's like, yeah, they shot the film here, great, but actually it's an excuse to get off the beaten track.
Yeah.
I went to all these places that none of the other backpackers went to, and I went to these lakes used at the end of the first film called the Mavoro Lakes, and it was like the last nice weekend of autumn before winter kicked in, and if these lakes were in Europe or America, just be like, you know, people out in boats, picnics, cars. I didn't see anyone else the whole day. I had these lakes and the mountains to myself, you know, it's just...
Wow.
So,
true
yeah,
adventure.
It's just these movie locations, stuff like that, whatever the movie, whatever the country, they're good catalysts to go to places you wouldn't otherwise go to.
So. Absolutely.
Top tip.
Very good.
So when we was watching your Hong Kong to New York and all of your videos, really, I kind of kept notes because we knew you were coming on the show.
Okay.
And just kind of wrote down funny things that we'd like to talk about.
Sure.
And I just wrote like short little notes. And the first note is, Hong Kong, I want your sperm.
Oh, this is a great story.
Yeah, so please elaborate on that.
Okay, so the very first person we spoke to on the start of this 9-month trip, apart from checking in the hostel, we went to where the bars were in town, and we're trying to find them. And this girl sort of comes, she sees me with the camera, and she comes up and she says, oh, where did you get the camera? I was like, oh, I got it off Amazon, you know. And then she's like, oh, what are you guys up to? I said, oh, we're just going to go for a drink in the bars area. And she went, oh, I might... Can I come along for a drink and stuff? Like, yeah, why not? You know, and she was cute, you know, she was hot. I'm not gonna lie. And we started sit down having a drink, and then after one drink, she was pretty smashed. And she started sort of saying how she was getting kind of weird with me. She started like going, oh, you look so good. She said, I want this body. And she took a photo of me on her iPad from my chin down to sort of the bottom of my waist. So not my face or anything like that. And
while you were wearing clothes?
I was wearing I wasn't in that good a shape either. It's not like I was fucking ripped or something, but and then she's saying, oh, what she really needs is a mixed race baby because then she can be successful in life. So she's like, can I have your sperm? And I was like, nah, you're all right. And then she like, kept sort of going on and on, like, just give me a sperm. Come on, give me a sperm. James is sitting there pissing himself laughing. And he's like, oh, mate, just do it. I was like,
just give her the baby.
And the thing was, you know, because I would have, like, you know, she was attractive, nice girl. She played her cards right. I would have slept with her.
Yeah,
but I thought she's probably the kind of girl who would, you know, keep the condom, and then she actually said, oh yeah, we can just go have sex in the toilet, so we can wear a condom and then I can just shove it in later. She said that. And,
oh my God.
And then she started crying and get all upset because we were like, no. And we basically had to sort of peel her off my shoulder and just leave her in this bar crying in like a pile of peanuts.
Oh my god!
That was like the very first
person we spoke to.
So I bet your mate James, because that was his first travel trip, really, wasn't
it? Yeah.
His first experience of traveling. He probably thought, "What have we got ourselves into?"
It was insane. But like I said, if she was smarter, she could have like just come for a drink with us and then pulled me, which wouldn't have been hard to do, and then gone with a condom plan. I mean, I'm glad she's not smart, because otherwise I'd have a kid somewhere in Hong Kong.
Can you imagine?
But yeah,
oh my God.
So that was the first person we spoke to.
That was really good. The other thing I wrote down was when you was in New Zealand, there's quite a famous place called Ferg Burger.
Yep.
Which everybody knows. It's the place you have to go to get one of these burgers.
Queenstown.
Yeah. I've also written 15 minutes. Grow up, man. Because it took you over 15 minutes? Yeah,
I don't know. I made up that number. I don't know. It's probably...
But I think you couldn't finish it, could you? The burger?
Because I got like the normal burger a few days beforehand, and then because we'd just done the bungee, I got like... I can't remember the name of it, but it's the ultimate huge massive one that comes like so many layers of different stuff. So I was like, right, I'm gonna try, and then you can see me almost gag, like, because it was so filling. But it's delicious, absolutely delicious.
Really,
yeah,
nice burgers.
Have to go to Ferg Burger.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you went to America like towards the end of the trip, didn't you? And James got in a bit of trouble with the police, didn't he? And then he got some sort of court order. What happened with that?
So we got pulled over once for speeding. We were both speeding, but it just happened to be James got pulled over both times. And the first guy just let us off because he was just fascinated by our passports with all these stamps. It's like showing a kid a shiny toy. And he sort of said to us all, remember in America we do kilometres an hour, not miles per hour. And we're like, okay. Because even though we use miles per hour, but two, if we thought it was kilometres, we would have actually been driving slower than the speed limit. But we just let him have it. And then then the second time we got pulled over, the guy just sort of came up, asked for James' licence, went back to his car and came back, and he was like, he tried to write up James' address, but it's like, your zip code's like weird. You've got like all these letters and numbers and other stuff. So I've just put 000, which immediately makes it void anyway. But it was a court order for James to go, because he was like 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. So he had to get like a court order for Mississippi but it was for 3 weeks after we finished the trip.
Yeah, because you weren't going to be in the country anymore.
And we were chatting to people like, what happens if James doesn't show up? And they go, well, technically they can put out a warrant for his arrest in Mississippi. But all it meant was James could still go back to America, could still go back to Mississippi, just don't get caught for anything. But James was getting a bit worried about it, so like on the last day of the trip, he just rang him up, the court up for it, like to sort of clear his mind. And then, and the woman, like, she was like, oh, y'all don't have to worry about that. We haven't written up your ticket. Oh, I love your accent. You know, just,
are you from Australia?
All right, sweetie pie. So it's just, I think they saw it and thought, this guy's from England, just leave it. And
because
she loved his accent, it's like, yeah. Don't worry about it. So
that's right then. So all is well with that.
Yeah, James is not a wanted man.
Good to know. Good to know. The last thing as well that Nick is very happy about. So you went to Latvia with a few mates, and we just need to say that one of them's a Sheffield Wednesday fan.
Yes, that was brilliant. That was god.
An anticlimax.
My mate Steve, he's obsessed with Wednesday.
He said everything relates back to it somehow in a conversation.
And he takes it in good humour, but it's almost like a religion to him. So we'll just be making digs about Sheffield United related stuff.
Yeah.
And he just gets so upset. That's funny. That's one of the videos that's, it's not like a popular one on the channel. I tried to make the videos so that anyone can watch them. Like the idea is like no one gives a shit you've been travelling. So they've got to be able to hit play and stay engaged all the way through.
Yeah.
But that one is mostly just, you know, lads on tour in jokes.
Yeah.
And so
it's
not one of the ones I sort of push out there because it's just us having a laugh. We even did another trip together for one of the guys' stag do's, and I filmed it and didn't even put it on YouTube because we find it hilarious. No one else would.
Yeah.
Yeah,
plus
exactly.
There's some mild racism in it as well. So.
Yeah. So I'm keen to know, how did all this travelling start? And why did you start filming all your trips?
It was something I've kind of, you know, growing up in the family, we did do lots of holidays. And I can't remember if I said this on air or not, but we were chatting about this earlier. But
that's the trouble, meeting first then chatting. Yeah.
Well, just sound surprised. So we did lots of travel growing up with my family, but you know, my parents both worked at the university, so we weren't like super well off. They just, you know, budgeted. Like my mum's the most organized person in the world. So, and we'd go out there to America, but we would do it on the cheap, like stay at Motel Sixes and stuff. My mum's idea was like, well, if you pay for the flight over, let's make the most of it. So we'd have like 6 weeks and drive all around the States. Because you were talking last week on the Domestics Abroad episode last month, sort of saying, oh, what's the right age to take kids traveling and stuff?
Yeah,
we were.
And like, because that trip was first time we did a big trip like that. I was 6 years old, and I still remember stuff from it, and it obviously made a lasting impression.
Yeah,
you know, the first time you go properly traveling without your parents, I don't mean like a lad's holiday, but I mean like the first time you're actually on an adventure, it's a whole different feeling, because if you're with your parents and they go, right, today kids, we're walking up that mountain, you're like, okay, you got no choice in it. But if you choose to do it yourself,
yeah,
then it feels like an adventure. So I've always had that in me. And then, like I said earlier, the travel bug bit me with that in Australia. And then the idea after that trip was, well, I want to go again, but I want to just try and do the biggest trip ever. And I don't want to work on it at all. I just want to enjoy every moment. So that's why it took us, for this 9-month round the world trip we've been talking about, Hong Kong to New York, we spent 3 years saving up for that. Because the budget was massive. I didn't want to cut any corners. I wanted to do this tour. I wanted to do that.
Definitely,
you know,
the right way to do it.
You know, I don't want to be eating tin food every day and stuff. So because some people see the budget and they freak out and they go, oh, I can never afford that. It's like, well, you don't have to, you can do cheaper trips. So yeah, had that idea for the trip. My postgrad was in editing, and I've sort of been working professionally as an editor in London for 8 years, and one of the things I was doing was just starting to film my trips just so I had something to edit, and then it sort of, you know, became a nice souvenir of the trip. But then it was like, well, I showed it to some friends and some people really enjoyed it, and I was like, well, okay, how can we do this to make it so that anyone can watch it? Because obviously your friends are going to enjoy it because they know you, but you've got to get it so someone who's never met you can watch it
and
enjoy it.
To understand you, and
and so we did a few more trips, and then, like I was saying earlier, the idea for the Hong Kong to New York was to film it as if it was a TV series. But like I said, I didn't know if anyone would watch it because it's 11 episodes, you know, of TV length, and it's hard enough to get people to watch a 2-minute video. But
that's so true.
So I've been really sort of overwhelmed with the success of it. I mean, I think like anything you create, you're the biggest critique of it. You know, I think some of the episodes are better than the others, some bits of the episode are better than others, and it all just depends on how bothered I could be to film, because filming for 9 months,
there
must be times where you just want to put the camera down.
When we did, I mean, I kind of from experience now know when to have the camera out, when to just put it away and enjoy the moment and stuff. But
yeah,
there are bits, like if you watch the Australia second episode, Sydney to Melbourne's almost just an animated line on the map, because we were just, by that point, I was nearly going to give up with it.
Wow.
But then getting to New Zealand kind of kicked me back into gear with
it. We're glad you didn't.
Yeah, and then and then I saw like the last episode, the US and Canada one, sort of say to people, I think the series is kind of like greater than the sum of its parts, because if someone said, oh, hey, do you want to watch a road trip from US to Canada, and saw that, they'd be like going, what the fuck is this? They're going from LA to New York, but they're not really doing anything. So it works really well as the last episode of our trip, but as like a LA to New York road trip, it's a bit weird, because the reason why was we were running out of money, we were getting tired, and then the government shutdown happened, so all the national parks were shut, everything of interest was shut. So we basically did this sort of mini golf and bar tour of America. So it's a weird episode. Like, you'd be watching it going, this is all fun and games, but wait a minute, they're not really doing much. And then I kind of address the elephant in the room halfway through, sort of saying, well, this is why. And then it kind of, the last couple of bits, sort of, we have a nice time in Toronto and New York, and then you get sort of the emotional finale kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it ends really nicely. And obviously you were tired because you'd been traveling for 9 months, but as a viewer, you really get that, and you understand why the last episode's like this, very clear. So you know, I loved every single minute of that.
For people who, at the time we watched the video, we didn't know you, we'd never met you, but even for strangers, it was such a good thing to watch. But I think it's because there's not anything like that on TV at the moment for people that like to backpack.
Absolutely. So if anyone does want to check you out online and on YouTube, what are your links?
So if you search Carl Watson, that's Carl with a K, and it's not Kyle Americans, it's Carl. Carl Watson travel documentaries on YouTube. Most of the links are Carl Watson 18, like youtube.com/CarlWatson18, just because that's the username I came up with at the time. But yeah, if you Google that, I mean, the nice thing is, because it's now taking off, if you just search backpacking in New Zealand, click on the video results and on Google, it's the number one result.
Cool.
Because it's getting all the views.
Good
and stuff. So that's how people have, all the traffic's just coming from random people searching for, I want to go backpacking in Thailand, but what's it look like? And they'll find a GoPro montage, and then, wait, what's this? And then, you know, they see something different, and
brilliant.
So it's a bit like a TV show.
And so what's coming up next? What should people look out for on your channel?
So the next two trips on my channel, in the summer, I was traveling with James again for 7 weeks through Panama, Colombia, and Venezuela. And that one's going to be called Backpackers of the Caribbean.
Very nice.
Well, I sort of said it to James, like, I want to just, you know, get the piratey feel, and I want the words backpacking and Caribbean in the title. So I said, how about Backpackers of the Caribbean? I showed him the logo, and he went, nah, shit, it's really cheesy. I said, all right, well, come up with a better name. And so it's called Backpackers of the Caribbean.
Yeah, exactly. That's what normally happens when we name our podcast episodes. I think it's something crap, and you're like, no, that's rubbish. And I'm like, well, if you're going to come up with a suggestion, then go for it. You're welcome.
Be part of the solution. Come on. So there's that trip. That should hopefully be online in March. I'm just furiously editing it away right now. And then the trip I've just completed was 6 weeks through India. That was like traveling through north and south, basically doing the main tourist highlights of India. So that's going to be called A Taste of India.
Nice.
Nice.
The idea with that is people will probably comment and go, oh, you didn't go here. I was like, I know. It's called A Taste of India.
Very clever. Hitting back the haters straight away.
You're already thinking of the haters.
Yeah. Well, actually, I should say, like, on... That'll be online in April, but with the YouTube comments, I mean, normally when you think of YouTube commenters, you think of like the worst, most vile people in the world. But I'd say 95% of the stuff I've got has been really positive, like really lovely feedback, and made some friends through it, and people like tips for questions or just say really nice stuff is when people say it's inspired them to travel, which was never the goal. It was just like, this will be fun to do and like a nice souvenir for us.
Yeah, but did you tell us about someone who you met who...
All right, so yeah, but it's gotten to the point now where when we're backpacking now, occasionally we'll get recognised at a hostel by someone's watched the series, which is crazy. I mean, it's doing all right, but it's not doing that good, you know? And if people are listening to this and who've never seen my stuff, they'll be going, who the fuck's this guy? You know, I'm just saying to get recognised. But yeah, it happened... Oh, in Panama, and then we got to Colombia, and there's this guy, Chris, and I just went up to the bar, and he went, oh, your name's Carl, right? I was like, yeah. I was thinking, if I chatted to you earlier, I'm pretty drunk, I don't know. And he said, oh, I saw your videos on YouTube. I was like, oh, sweet, well, come have a beer with us. And then I was like, how did you find them? And he goes, well, I was thinking about quitting my job for traveling, but I wasn't sure. Then I found your first episode of Hong Kong to New York, and me and my flatmate watched that on a Sunday morning. And he went, screw it, and had a lazy Sunday, and he binge-watched the entire series in one day. And the next day, he went to work and quit his job. And he's now traveling for 18 months. And he was sitting there going, because of Carl and James, these two here.
Wow.
And it was just the biggest compliment.
It was.
Isn't it?
It's crazy. And it's like really sort of humbling. And it's, you know, we never ever, like I said, I didn't know if anyone would watch it. Never mind bloody inspire them to quit their job and go away. So
yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. Cool. Well, guys, we've run out of time, unfortunately. But thank you so much for coming on, Carl. Like,
thank
it's
you
been
for having
really
me.
Good.
It's been great.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for your time. It was really good.
Me and Nick are going to the pub now. So.
So jealous. I'm heading to London, but I wish I could like stay with the boys and have a beer.
Lads.
I don't like beer.
But you are a lad, aren't you? Like, yeah, Amy, if she stuck around for a drink, you'd find out Amy is just one of the lads. Going on a hen, like being with a group of girls on a hen do, you're like, that sounds crap.
I want to have a stag do, not a hen do. Anyway, but yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. It's been great.
And just quickly, next episode is about Slovakia and Czech Republic.
No. It's about the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
What did I say?
Slovakia and Czechoslovakia. Well, they used to be Czechoslovakia.
Anyway.
Czechos Republic, you said.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Just record that bit again.
That went well. Next episode, Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Brilliant. All right, see you next month.
Bye.
Bye.
No packle rabbin, you'll be home with a man.
Don't forget, you can get in contact on @FoePodcast, that's Foe spelled P-H-O, or WhatTheFoePodcast on Instagram. You can also email us, WhatTheFoePodcast@gmail.com.